You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with a distracted Todd Adkins. All right, today we have a great question that I thought we had already answered.
Distracted. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
Hey, at least it wasn't distracted driving.
I was looking at my phone. It was Chandler.
Don't text and drive.
It was our teammate Chandler.
Chandler Bing.
Chandler! Have we mentioned him on the podcast before?
I don't know if we've mentioned him on this podcast. On the 5LQ one, maybe.
He's actually been on the other
one. Yeah, he has been. That was cool. We talked about internships.
Yeah.
Because he was actually an intern with us.
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And now he's leading our marketing.
Guy on. But
practice anyway, what we preach, right?
That's what we do. We smoke what we sell, brother.
I wasn't going to put it that way, but.
Well, we can do that. We can put it that way.
All right. So this question, I thought we had actually already answered.
Okay.
Because I brought it up when we interviewed Clay Scroggins on the 5LQ podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if you haven't listened to the Clay Scroggins episode.
Man, he's so good.
He's the lead pastor at North Point Community Church.
He just wrote How to Lead When You're Not in Charge.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great because he's really, the whole book is about him and Andy Stanley.
That is funny.
Well, kind of.
A lot of, seriously though, I mean, you know, there's usually only one person at the top, and odds are if you're listening to this, you are under authority in some way, shape, or form. Even if you're at the top, you're always under authority. Yep. And so How to Lead When You're Not in Charge is, I think, a great book for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and it's, we're going to have them. Leadership, up, down, all around.
Yeah, and we're going to have them as probably one of our Q&A webinar guys.
Oh, cool.
In the upcoming months. But I bring that up because we actually talk about this a little bit on that podcast episode. Oh, cool. So let's listen into the question and deal with the question a little bit more directly.
Hey guys, my name is William Bailey from North Rock, Arkansas. And I'm actually in Bible college right now. I'm pursuing a degree in pastoral ministry. And shortly after I was called into ministry, I felt the strong calling to plant a church. And I'm still praying for God's discernment on as to whether to work for a church first or to dive right into planting. But my question for you is, aside from what God called me to directly, what are some pros and cons to planting a church prior to any ministry experience and planting a church after being employed at another church? I appreciate it. Enjoyed the podcast.
Now, probably about 10, 12 years ago, I was at a global leadership summit, and the talk that Bill Hybels gave it just stood out to me because I was just graduating college. I had just graduated college, and I was trying to figure out what are my next steps and all that. And one thing Bill Hybels talked about, he was like, hey, when you look at the life of David, there are really three different phases of his leadership. At the beginning of his life, you know, kind of when he was a teenager and kind of a little bit older than that, before he became king, he led with passion. He didn't have much skill. He didn't have much wisdom, but he led with passion and people followed him. And then in the middle phase of his life, he led with skill, right? He still had passion. His wisdom was growing, but his skill is what allowed people and led people to follow him. And in the latter years of his life, he led with wisdom. Now, passion and skill were still there, but they weren't in the forefront. His forefront was wisdom. So it's interesting because you can have these guys who graduate from college, you know, like a Mark Zuckerberg guy who's like passionate, go get them done, church planters, pastors, you know, people all
in every... Mark Zuckerberg's playing the church?
No, that's Justin Bieber. Okay, if you didn't catch that... Just look it up on social media. It's fascinating. But
moving right along.
Yeah, moving right along. There's a lot of passion, right? And people will follow you because of that passion.
Right.
Right. And William, graduating from Bible college, I can hear the passion in your voice, in your heart. But just understand there's that difference, passion, skill, and wisdom. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you pretty much nailed that one. There's not a whole lot I need to say other than, so I know of guys who've come straight out of seminary, planted a church, and it's been awesome. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot more guys that needed some time in the saddle somewhere else under someone and to really understand the work of the ministry. I would say there's an alternative, which is if you are currently in seminary, please, please turn up the volume right now. Please work and serve in your church on a daily basis. I don't mean on a weekly basis. I don't mean teach the preschool ministry or lead a small group. I mean work at a church during seminary. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it takes you an extra year or two. Do that.
Yeah, don't go to the church that all the seminary students go to.
No. Or even where all the seminary students are interns because you're not going to have the...
Or where the professors go.
Find another church that needs someone and go and dutifully work there.
Yeah.
Even if you're not pulling a salary, like, man, just go and you're going to learn way more from that than you will, you know, just going to the classroom and then getting your own, you know, your own deal.
Yeah.
I will tell you this too, in running multiple years of residency, for my former church, the vast majority of the time, the first 2 years we had both seminary graduates and college graduates. After 2 years of dealing with the seminary graduates, we stopped allowing them into our program. I'm not joking. Because they would come in, they're like, oh, I'm at this huge giga church. They do all these different things wrong.
Yeah.
And I am here. The Lord has sent me.
Yeah. Savior mentality.
Yeah. To change this. And
which a lot of pastors have savior mentalities.
Yes. But I'm like, hey, why don't we find out how this place works before we work on this place?
Yes. Ooh.
And so
that's sweet little right there.
Well, I think I stole it from Eric Mason.
There you go.
who, by the way, does practice a leadership pipeline and hopefully will be at one of our pipeline conferences.
And preaches from the CSB.
You going to get everything in there?
No, it was fascinating because we interviewed him on New Churches for one of our Q&A webinars on preaching. So we interviewed Matt Chandler and Eric Mason both on preaching. Those webinars, if you have not listened to them, you have to go back and just in the search bar, search Eric Mason, hit events, webinars, look at Eric Mason, Matt Chandler. But I was surprised because when we were talking with Eric Mason about all that, he was just talking about the CSB. I mean, that's sweet. The Christian Standard Bible.
All right. Yep. What were we talking about again?
We were talking about what Matt Chandler said. Actually, I was going to bring up what Matt Chandler said at an event that we were hosting. He said this: there are too many guys who have angst in their heart and stupid in their head. And all they want to do is go and plant a church and lead something because they're sick of not being the one in charge. He's like, he's a president of Acts 29.
Yeah.
They plant churches. So he was saying he would rather in assessment, in those that they're assessing and leading and wanting to partner and send out, he'd rather encourage someone who just graduated from seminary to go and serve under someone else. Learn all that you can. Here's the thing, William. We want to play the long game here, right? We don't want to burn out. We want to finish well, right? And one of the ways that we do that is to learn how to be, yes, a person in authority, but also someone who is under authority, right? Because you're always going to be under authority. And if you don't know how to deal with being under authority, then you're going to have a lot of blind spots and likely your character is going to kill you. Your character is going to, you know, rip the ministry out.
Or you're going to limit your impact long term.
Yeah.
So don't sacrifice, you know, long term leadership for short term gain.
Yeah.
I, and two, you know, for me personally, I did a couple of rounds at seminary, and I figured out fairly early on that I could have probably been a senior pastor at a decent sized church, but I would do way more damage for the kingdom as an executive pastor. Yep. I just had figured that out, and it's like, okay, I can go be the guy that's in charge, or I can serve the guy that's in charge, and help carry the vision forward, because, you know, there's people that can do both well. And
So that really does come back to this idea of self-awareness as well. And honestly, William, as you're finishing up your studies, as you're then going and serving in church, I mean, our advice would really be go and serve in a church.
And I really appreciate him asking the question. Yeah, I mean, totally. That already shows, you know, that, that shows a lot. So William, as you're listening to this, or other guys that are listening to this, I know occasionally it may seem like we're dumping on somebody who asks a question. We're not dumping on you for asking a question. Odds are, if you ask the question, you're actually wrestling with it, and you want to, you know, you really do want the advice. Some guys, you know, are making a statement in the form of a question.
And we don't play those questions on the podcast. We usually don't play those questions. Yeah, we're not dumping on you. We're developing you.
Oh, there you go.
I just, everything, anything that's tweetable that comes out of my mouth is likely originally from Todd Adkins.
Which is likely originally from some other place that I replaced a couple words and it comes out of my head.
Yeah. Howard Hendricks.
It may be how Doc was amazing. And another guy named Warren Benson, and another guy named Malfers.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us owe a great deal to our professors and our professors' professors.
No kidding.
You know, it's all those things. And if you looked at the guys that a lot of us admire, a lot of them, their fruit comes from Howard Hendricks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warren Benson. Aubrey Malfers.
Jim Shaddix.
I mean, we could name a bunch of names and just go, wow, that's the kind of leader I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And so, and you know what? There's a difference there, right? I mean, we mentioned Matt Chandler and Eric Mason, and we all like are wow. You know, I know there's tons of preacher guys out there that have every Matt Chandler move down.
Yeah.
Like they're kung fu fighting. I guess that would be more Piper. However, you know,
seashells. You're going to be collecting seashells your entire life? Don't waste your life.
That was a decent Piper.
Oh man, that sermon. Yeah.
All right, we've probably historical.
Yeah
digressed enough.
Well, thanks, William, for submitting that question. Be sure to leave a rating and review, and we will catch you next time.